and welcome to the latest episode of the Racing Pod Blast with me, Tony Mack, and Ben Aitken from Narrow in the Field. Welcome along to listeners old and new, and we're heading to Aintree this weekend on the Pod Blast. Three races covered by us as per normal as we continue to tackle the 2023-2024 National Hunt season. And then we keep moving up north, up to Scotland, closing the show with our ever popular, with some people, football Trixie top, middle and bottom. But racing first, as always, the Potemps Handicap Hurdle due off at 1:35. Is our first race for us from Aintree. Welcome along, Ben, and can you start us off with the first of our races at 1:35 at Aintree, Potemps Handicap Hurdle, Class 2 Handicap over 3 miles and a half a furlong.
Yeah, morning, Tony. Yep, starting off with our favourite type of race, a Potemps Hurdle qualifier, which, fair enough, you pulled off quite a big each way price one last time, so hopefully same again. First thing to note is that last year's winner, Remasters, starts his campaign off once again in this race. He finished third in 2021 of £7 lower, and then he won last year of £8 lower mark, and he's once again, he's had a breathing op, which is the fifth breathing op of Remasters' career. At his form off previous wind ops reads, pulled up first, ninth, and first. The last of those wins was in this race last year. Now, he has won off higher marks over fences, so from a handicapping perspective, Remastered, I think he should be okay. But he does have his prime conditions to shoot for. Breaks of 31 days or more, first, second, or third start of the season, and fields of 15 or less, where he is 7 wins and 3 places from 11 starts, and that's all 7 of his career wins. So no surprise if Remastered is involved in the business end of this race yet again. Imperial Merlin is also one that's on my radar for this. He comes into this with a progressive profile and he's still unexposed as a handicapper. This is only his second handicap start. He's also unexposed as a stayer. This is only his second start over 3 mile plus. John Quinn also has a decent record with his hurdlers over 3 mile plus at class 2 level and below, and in fields of 12 or less. He's got a 27% win strike rate and a 57% win and place strike rate in such races, over 27 points profit had you backed them all. And Imperial Merlin, I think he should be one with plenty still to offer this season. And the bigger prices, I think Gentleman at Arms is worthy of a mention. He finished well beaten on seasonal debut at Utoxeter last month, but he does generally need his first run back off a break. And it's worth remembering that Gentleman at Arms, he was good enough to finish second in the Grade 1 Grand Theft and Novice Hurdle at the Aintree National Meeting in 2022. The handicapper has given him a chance right now. He's down to 1-2-4 for this run. He was rated as high as 1-4-3 at the start of last season, so he's almost £20 lower now. The tongue tie is removed for this run. They removed the cheek pieces for his last run. When you look at him with no headgear or tongue tie, off breaks of 42 days or less, and in fields of 11 or less, he's 5 wins and 3 places from 13 starts, so he does have his conditions on Saturday. A little bit of a swing of the bat, and you would be banking on certain things sparking him back to life, the lower rate in the track, wearing no accessories, but I think he's a big enough price to warrant the risk, I reckon. So Gentleman at Arms is a bit of an each-way swing for me, around 14-1, and I'll probably have an each-way dabble on race specialist Remastered as well. Tony, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I was just looking at the trends and the age group, but the ages are all over the place. We had like Scandiberg winning in 2019 for trainer Ollie Murphy. He was a 5-year-old. 2 years before that, Philip Hodds, Lewis Vakpouch won it in 2017. And then you've got, obviously, Remastered and Kashari winning for the last 2 years, age 9. And 2020, you know what I mean, Harry, winning at the age of 12. So the age group is all over the place in this one. I like Starzov. Finished in midfield in the Village Hotels handicap, 10th of 22, beating 11 lengths, making late headway that day, but never getting to the leaders. Everything happening a little bit too quickly for him up front. The favourite, yeah, Kerr Allen, in the colours of JP McManus. Whether it qualifies, it'll probably qualify for the Potemps, but where he finishes remains to be seen. Enough said about that. Hillview, 14-1, second of nine at Uttoxeter in May. I think Hillview could go well at a big price, but I'm going to stick with Stars of and Ben, the outsider of the field, Storm Nelson. Better than last effort at Sandown in February when in the care of Sandy Thompson. Now he's changed stables here to Ollie Williams. Ollie has ridden as a jump jockey for over 8 years before retiring to become an assistant trainer for the likes of Luca Kamani, Neil King, Sarah Humphreys and James Given he was also with, and successfully trained and ridden many point-to-point winners alongside his quest to become a fully licensed trainer. So Ollie Williams there, first run for Ollie. Storm Nelson, outsider of the party, at around 22-1, along with Stars of each way. A couple of small each ways to start us off in that one. On to the 210 here, Ben Aintree, Boyle Sports Handicap Chase, Class 3, over 2 miles.
Yeah, some interesting types in this one, Tony. A couple, I think, could turn into well above average chasers as well. Mm. Master Chewy, very impressive on chase debut last month over this course and distance. And he steps straight into open handicap company now after starting in a novice handicap. I had a look at pro form speed figures for the runners in this race, and the figure Master Chewy posted last time out is actually the best figure by any of the field ever, ever over fences. So the figures back up the visual impression he made last time out. To further enhance how strong that figure was, I extended the pro form figures to all runs the field have had, and only once before have any of the field posted a better figure than Master Chewy did last time out. That was Lively Citizen when he came second in the 2022 Imperial Cup. So on a few streams, that win by Master Chewy on chase debut, it was seriously impressive. I do think he could possibly make up a graded player as the season progresses. He does need to back up that run now, obviously, but he is a horse I like for chasing this season. I totally get why he's at the head of the market. You Can Tango, he also catches the eye. He's by the sire Okavango. Now, he's a sire that's been on my radar recently, and I've noted a few of his making a decent impact over fences. A lot of them look built for the chasing game. I think he could be a sire to keep on the radar when it comes to producing chasers. His offspring do seem to improve for fences visually and on the stats. On the stats, if you look at Okavango Irishbred 6-year-old geldings in handicap chases over shorter than 3 miles, and they're having their first or second chase start, they return 11 wins from 19 starts and two others making the places. It's a 58% win strike rate. It's over 25 points profit. Early days still, of course, but I do like what I see with the Okavango kids over fences. There was one called Inch House. He won at Newbury yesterday on Thursday. And in this race, You Can't Tangle, he does fit those stats I just mentioned. Inch House also fit them. He won on bumper debut, You Can't Tangle. He also won on hurdle debut. He's 3 from 3 off breaks of 60 days or more. I'd be disappointed if he didn't leave his current mark of 1-2-4, well behind now chasing. My only concern would be the soft ground he's likely to face into on Saturday. I'm open on that for now, but yeah, he is. You Can't Angle's a horse that's on my radar for this season. And the other interests me is Jello from the Venetia Williams Yard. And let's be honest, it's very difficult to ignore anything from the Venetia Williams Yard right now. This month alone, she's had 12 runners. 5 of them have won. One's finished second. 2 others have finished third. So she's clearly in bouncing form right now. Jello himself made a winning start for Yard at Exeter over hurdles around this time last year. I think we always feel chasing will have been the plan for him. Generally is with the Venetia runners. And they don't waste time you know, heading down the novice route with them. They're firing them straight into an open handicap chase here. When Venetia Williams sends a chase debutant age 4, 5, or 6 straight into open handicap company in November or December, she's returned stats of 13 winners and 3 place runners from 35 qualifiers. 37% win strike rate, a hefty 83 points profit. So these types from the yard, they do need maximum respect. So 3 potentially exciting prospects, I think, going head-to-head here. Prices probably just about sway me to Jello for Venetia Williams. Close, though, because do like Master Chewy, and that was a serious performance. He put a blast to Mike, so I'm interested to see if he can back that up. But punting wise, Jello about 92 at the minute is where I'm going with this one. Tony, what have you got?
Yeah, interesting one there. Yeah, with Jello and the form of Venetia Williams stable quite at the moment. Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, I've gone for 2 different ones here. Apologies, listeners here, for the 2-tenner entry. Real Stone, who's around 17-2 currently for the Skeltons. I like the way it was kind of 5-1. Possibly disappointed the Skeltons when last seen in April at Uttoxeter, over 2.5 miles on soft ground, finishing 2nd of 5, beating 1.5 lengths in a novices limited handicap chase. He's an experienced chaser. He didn't take too well to his initial couple of chases in November 22 and December 22, but he did come back in January earlier this year and won at Foss Lass in a handicap chase, beating 7 rivals by 0.5 length, beating another Crick that day. Real Stone, wind up, decent efforts, as I say, in January and Uttoxeter, the winner at this venue as well as over a similar trip. So hopefully the wind up has worked better than Remaster's done anyway. So one fine man also at around 10-1. Now, this is interesting, this. Used to be with Jimmy Moffat at one fine man, and winning in February, a couple of times in February, at Carlisle and Ayr, and then finished 3rd of 6 as the 6-4 favourite when last seen in March at Haydock, over 2 miles, half a furlong, on soft ground. Now he's changed, no change of owner here, Ben, but a change of trainer. He's gone to Declan Carroll, who's just down the road from me in Moulton, and it's quite interesting that Declan doesn't have he won't have a lot of jumpers in his yard. He's more preferably a flat trainer now, but interesting that it's one fine man has ended up at Declan Carroll's yard, and I'll be having a very, very small each way on that. He was beaten favourite last time out. He's experience of 4 chases, and winner of 2 of them, and one fine man, small each way at 10-1, and Real Stone, a small each way at around 17-2 currently, for that 2-10 at Aintree. Onto the big one of the day. It's always exciting, regardless of what's happened to the fences, but the course still makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. The Grand Sefton Handicap Chase, Class 2, over 2 mile, 5 furlongs, over the Grand National fences, off at 2:45, Ben.
Yeah, I'm going to flick back quickly to your Declan Carroll. Mm. Have a quick look while you're talking. He's not had a chaser since 2011.
Mm.
A long, long time. Mm. So, yeah, you're right. What's happening with that one? Interesting. I'll be interested to see how that one goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Good spot there, Tony. But, yeah, the Grand Sefton over the National Fences for the first time this season. There's 3 in this race that I have notes on, specifically with regards to the National Fences. Those 3 and their notes are Geskule, seems to love the National Fences as he jumped cleanly around them in the Sefton, Beecher and Topham, worth keeping in mind for any future runs over the National Fences. Fantastic Lady, my notes were, jumped the National Fences well, very well in the Topham, and will be interested in going over them again at some point. And Percussion, notes say, jumped cleanly around National Fences in the 2022 Sefton and Beecher and rattled home down the long running after the last fence both times. Possible for a National at some point if they can get his mark up. Probably would need to get up a fair bit, but those are my notes. So those 3, and along with Half Shot, they would form my shortlist for this race. Geskule, And he's been a little lazy at times in previous runs. So, you know, looks a wise move for him to stick blinkers on for the first time for this run. He's only £1 higher than for his second in the Beecher Chase last season. And if those blinkers sharpen him up nicely, then he's got to be a big player in this Grand Sefton. A fantastic lady, still relatively lightly raced for an 8-year-old. There may still be more improvement to be squeezed from her this season. At least the level and below, over trips further than 2 mile 3, she is 4 wins and a place from 8 starts. And she also handles testing ground perfectly well. So I think she looks like she'll go well again back over these fences. Percussion finished 3rd in this race last year. He's actually running off a £5 lower mark this time round. So handicapper has given him a bit of a chance to improve on that effort this time round. Now, he can get a bit tapped for toe, I suppose, a little before, as I mentioned, as he steams home down the running. Now, that's what generally costs him the win. So he may do his usual and tank down the long running, pick off a place, but possibly give himself too much to do for the win. So it'll be up to Gavin Sheehan to somehow keep him interested close enough so he's not got too much to make up once he jumped the last. And then half shot is the other that catches my eye. He's likely to be right up on the pace in this, and that's often a positive in this race over fences, national fences, in fact. He comes here off a career best effort at Kelso last time out. If he takes these fences, first time asking, then I think he might prove tricky to catch, dropping back in trip. So he's catching the eye for Ian Jardine. Of that lot, I'm probably landing on Fantastic Lady for Henderson and Nico de Boinville. Tony, what have you got for us in the Grand Sefton?
Yeah, the mare Fantastic Lady's on my shortlist, the 8-year-old for Nicky Henderson, Nico de Bonneville. So we're finally agreeing on something here, Ben.
At last.
I've also singled out for Stuart Coulthard, the Coulthard Stuart and Sam Coulthard Cooper's Cross. That could go well at around 8-1 in each way price. His last 4 runs have come at Doncaster on 2 occasions. And Ayr, when he was 2nd of 18 in the Scottish Grand National last season, at the end of last season, Cooper's Cross running a blinder at 25-1, 3 lengths behind Kitty's Light, the winner. Manella Trump for Donald McCain, Theo Gillard in the saddle there. He was last seen in the Grand National itself, finishing midway at 50-1, beaten 15th of 39. He won 3 of 4 chases between November 21 and June 22, and has only been seen twice this year, in March at Bangor, and as I say, in the Grand National. I don't think things were quite right with Manella Trump last year, but hopefully Donald McCain's had him off on a summer break. And this YCCS Porta Servo for trainer Dr. Richard Newland, who's in good form at the minute. Richard Newland, he has in the last 30 days 6 winners from 32, a further 7 hitting the frame, 15 winning place positions. That's 46% or 47% winning place strike rate from 32 runners in the last 30 days. And hopefully, I'm hoping he gets a place with YCCS Porta Servo at 25-1. Currently, Richard Newland's yard's good form right now. And his record in this contest worth considering here as well, Ben. The stable have had 1 winner from 7 runners in the race since 2015, 14% strike rate, another 2 hitting the frame, giving the yard a 43% winning place strike rate, a 14-point profit. His winner, Bo Bear, in 2020, followed Seafood 2nd of 17 in 2016 at 8-1, and Bo Bear himself finishing 3rd of 14 at 40-1 in 2019 before going on to win the race 12 months later. The trainer is represented by YCCS Porta Servo in this year's contest. So a big price there for Dr. Richard Newland. Hopefully going well. And my other one will be Cooper's Cross, 2nd in last year's Scottish Grand National at around 8-1. Right, excellent. Good stuff. That's the Grand Sefton all sorted out for you. Right now, it's top, middle and bottom, the one you've all been waiting for. Here we go. Cheesy peeps, man.
Oh, golly, what a buy! thing about loving football is you cannot explain why you love it. It just happens. Chasing a ball round a park, wanting one team to win against the other.
El Mahoney, right foot. Whipshot. Oh, jeezy peeps, man.
All right, top, middle and bottom, the bit of the pod you've all been waiting for before this week's selections. Ben, an update from last week, please.
Yeah, last week, Tony, one winner, two losers, minus 4 points. Myself, boom, back down to earth. No winners. Minus 4 points. Overall totals now, me, myself, plus 13.95. Tony, minus 4.46. I think you need a call from Big Dunk to buck your ideas up. Worked wonders for me because I'm now living on fear as he knocks on my door. But yep, no mucking about for me this week on top, middle and bottom. I am going for three strong, relatively shorties for my Trixie. Top, Scottish Championship, Dundee United to beat Dunfermline 17-20. Dundee United can only manage a draw against Cali Thistle last weekend, but I'll take them to get their steamroller back into full gear here. They've played six games on the road this season. They've won five, they've drew one, they've scored 16, they've conceded just the one, and I'm going to take them to get back to winning ways here, Dundee United. This is a Friday evening game, by the way. Probably watching the TV if you're really bored. But yeah, Dundee United to beat Dunfermline. Middle, Scottish First, Montrose to beat Annan at 5-6. Now, Annan are starting to find life difficult in the First Division, especially on the road. They've lost five of their six away games through the other. Montrose, on the other hand, they're sitting third, coming off the back of a 5-1 victory against Edinburgh. I think Montrose will have too much for Annan here, so Montrose for the home win. And bottom, Scottish second, Peterhead to beat Stranraer at 4-6. Peterhead, they're starting to roll now. They've won their last five matches. They've only conceded two goals at home all season. Stranraer, on the other hand, bottom of the recent form table, losing four of the last five. A win against Whipping Boys Elgin last week stopped that being five losses on the trot. And they struggled all season on the road. They've conceded 13 goals. They've only scored three. So it's Peterhead for me in the Scottish second. And that's Dundee United in the top, middle, Montrose, bottom, Peterhead. Tony, what have you got for us?
Home wins for me all across the board here. Ben, Inverness at home to Ayr, 13-10. Kelty Hearts at home to Cove Rangers, 7-5. I went against Kelty Hearts last week, so I'm with them this week. And East 5 to beat Dumbarton at 21-10. Inverness, Kelty Hearts, East 5, if you're writing all that down. Right, hopefully I can get back to winning ways. Many thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Racing Pod Blast. Very best of luck with your betting at Aintree this weekend and on top, middle and bottom if you're still playing my selections anyway. Remember, if you're an early rising, catch me on Shed Hot Radio weekdays between 6 a.m. and 9, with Ben's 90s bangers as well at 8:30 every morning. And you can also catch more from Ben over on narrowingthefield.co.uk. That's narrowingthefield.co.uk. We'll be back next week with the next episode of the Racing Pod Blast. Big thanks for listening this week. Thanks for your kind words on the Pod Blast as well. Have a great weekend. Thanks very much, Ben.
Cheers, Tony.
And thanks to everyone for listening.